I feel like we need prayer. Anybody else? Okay, let's talk to God. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for the new year that you have blessed us with. The sun came up this morning, and that was a reminder that your covenant with this planet, your covenant with David, your covenant with Abraham, your covenant through your son Jesus is that covenant. Those covenants are intact. And we can expect, because of your grace and your mercy, that you will meet with us as we've gathered. We pray, I pray, that human voices would diminish, the voices in our heads, my voice, all that we carry, that they would diminish, and that your voice would be clear, your voice would be crisp, that we would hear and know confidently that it is you speaking to us this morning from your word. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Have your way in the technology, but most importantly, have your way in us, each of our hearts, that we would be ready to receive what you have for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I want to start the year with some questions, and we'll come back to this. I want this up there because I want you to be curious what this means, a year of renewal at Crossroads. But I really want to start with a couple of questions, and the first one is this. We tend to do, what do we call them, New Year's resolutions, and they tend to kind of focus on habits, right? They tend to focus on areas that we want to be renewed, right, to be better. Anybody? Does anybody make New Year's resolutions anymore? To look around, not very many people, right? It's not something that we have a lot of hope in is where I was going to go with it. But they tend to, you know, I want to lose this amount of weight. I want to eat differently. Sometimes there's financial goals. I want to buy something this year. I want to buy a house. I want to be nicer to my wife. I've made that one many times. We think of the beginning of a new year as a moment where we should kind of pause and stop and ask some important questions. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is a really important question. Who are we? Now, our first answer might be a list of titles. It might be a list of relationships. I'm a dad. I'm a father. I'm a husband. And that, is that part of who I am? Absolutely, it is. I'm a grandpa, papa. Technically, I'm a great grandpa. I don't know how that happened, but that's a part of who I am. Some would say, "Well, you're a pastor. You have this title of pastor. That's a part of who I am, right? In this season of my life, I'm an American." Right? I have a passport that says I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm a part of California. Hey, we got visiting, where, there she is. These people we love that keep leaving California. You don't have to stand up unless you want to. Okay. Is one of our Tennesseans, if that's what they're called, is back visiting with us today. So, you know, this identity in that we live in California. And then often, particularly men, not just men, but particularly men, we start thinking about occupation, right? I'm a blank. I'm a this. Ladies, I don't know if you know this, but men do this. My brother said, "Hey, how's it going? So, what do you do?" That's like almost in the first few minutes of meeting somebody, we want to know what this person does for an occupation. And the list goes on, does it not? If someone said, "Who are you?" You might lead with, "Oh, I'm Kurt." You know, we were given this name. I was given Curtis James Pearson was my name. And I've learned over the years that the longer the name that is used to call me, the more trouble I'm in. When my wife is happy with me, do you know what she calls me? C, literally, the letter C. When she's pretty good, it's CJIP, CJP. If she's a little irritated, it's Curtis. If she's a little more irritated, it's Curtis James. I've never heard Curtis James Pearson. I'm afraid to hear what, you know, the circumstances would be. But that's a part of who I am. That's this name that was given to me by my parents. And the list goes on and on and on. But if that's all that it is, and we're missing this answer, then we've really missed the most important thing. So that when I, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I say, "Who am I? Who are we?" The first thing that comes to our mind, the first thing that should come out of our mouth is, "I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we've embraced the word Christian, and that's a good word. It's biblical. But would you agree that Christian doesn't really, it's really gotten confusing of what that means? And it, to the point where it almost feels a little strange to say I'm a disciple, because that feels like a word that's connected to a bygone era. But maybe it's time that we bring that back. Maybe it's time we bring back the idea of a rabbi, of a master and a disciple, someone who has decided that they are going to they're going to deny themselves, pick up their cross, and they're going to follow this carpenter's son from Nazareth, this one called Jesus, this one who claimed that he was in fact God in the full in human form. Born, we just celebrated a few weeks ago, born or less than 2 weeks ago, born to a young woman, Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. You tracking with me? Maybe it's time that we bring back the answer to that question when we say, well, who are we? I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I live and breathe because of his grace. I've been adopted into a new family. Paul would say, you might tell people that you're no longer a citizen of this world, but in fact you are a citizen of heaven. They all are communicating the same thing. Who are we? And this question, as we unpack it, and I hope you will do that in the coming days of this new year, that you will give some serious thought. Even if you are not a follower of Jesus, ask yourself that question, who am I? And I pray that it will be followed up with this one, why am I here? Why are we here? You ever get lost in the details and the circumstances that are happening in this world? And you just wonder, what in the world am I here for? I don't encourage you to read the news. I do take in the news sometimes. And I'm telling you, it's bad news. There's some good stuff out there, certainly. But the way we're living, the priorities we have, the values that we live for, the way that we treat each other, what's happening in marriages, what's happening in families, what's happening in the schools, what's happening in our communities, what's happening in government, what's happening in healthcare, what's happening in education, you can look anywhere you want to. And it can be overwhelming with all that's happening, the brokenness. And the end result can be, at the end of the day, I just sit there in my chair at home at the table and, why am I here? It feels overwhelming. It just feels consuming. Why are we here? Now, if I just stop there, I've forgotten the answer to the first question. And I got to go back to the first question. Okay, who am I? Who are we? Well, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I move into, well, he didn't just tell me I'm his disciple, but he told me why I'm here. He told us why we're here. And you say, well, yeah, but that was 2,000 years ago. That can feel a little overwhelming, right? Yeah. 2,000 years have gone by since he said these things. But I stand before you, a broken human being, in all humility that I can muster, that God can muster in me, and tell you that it's just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. It's just as real. It's still the truth. It's still the truth that Jesus said would set us free. The answer to those two questions, if you know Jesus, is the truth that will set you and I free to live for him, live out who we are and why we're here in 2025. I was so worried I was going to say 2024. I already wrote a check. Does anybody write checks anymore? Okay, I wrote a check, 2024, had to tear it up because it's already no good. Let's go another layer deep for us. And now, Crossroads Church. You might be longtime part of this church, you might be brand new, today might be your first morning. If you're a rookie at Crossroads, this applies to all of us. What is our mission? And I'm just expanding, who are we and why are we here? What's our mission? What's our vision? Do you know what your vision is? Your vision is, where are we going? What's tomorrow going to look like? What's next month going to look like? What about our plan? Do we have a plan? If we've answered the question, who we are and why we're here, we got to move into these questions. What is our mission here? Let's make that clear. What is the vision? Where are we headed? And do we have a plan? Is there a plan in place for us to be who we are and do what we're here to do? And what are our priorities? The church has used over the years core values, priorities, investments, all these different, it's the things that are most important. Acts 2 says the devotions, they devoted themselves, the early church, and they list what they devoted themselves to. What are our priorities? What are the devotions that we live for? Let me ask it a little differently. And this is a glimpse of where we're going to be over the next 4 weeks, including this morning through the month of January, is how do I live intentionally in 2025? How do I live generously in 2025? How do I live consistently in 2025? And how do I live, say it with me, joyfully in 2025? Now, some of you recognize those words, don't you? When we talk about our giving, and that's intentional, because over the next 4 weeks, we're going to ask these questions, and we're going to, I say this word too much, I think, but we're going to unpack it. We're going to make it real. We're going to give, you know, hands and feet to this idea of living out who we are and why we're here. And those four words, we will talk about our money. Heads up, we're going to talk about money. Why? Because Jesus talked about money. And why did Jesus talk about money? Because it says so much about us. Don't you agree? What we do with money, not how much money you have, but what you do with your money and don't do with your money says so much about us, about me. But we're not just going to talk treasure. We're going to talk talent and time. Now, if you're younger, this is not going to mean as much to you as if you're older. Time, your time becomes the most valuable thing you have. Anybody with me? Right? Time becomes the most valuable thing that you have, that God's given us. And so we're going to talk about time, talent, and treasure. Talent is what he's given you, capacity and your gifts and resources beyond financial things that he wants you to use for him. So we're going to talk about living and giving, but specifically, how do I live intentionally? That's this morning. Next week, we'll look at how do I live generously. Anybody want to be generous in 2025? Okay, I got my work cut out for me. That was maybe 5%. The rest of the year still, I'm going to live greedy in 2025. And then we'll look at consistently. Anybody want to live consistently? Oh, man, I do. Man, I'm tired of this. Anybody? You know, I want to live like this, you know, for him. And anybody want to live joyfully in 2025? Man, I need joy. We need joy. We need joy in our marriages, joy in our families, joy. Our teenagers need joy at school and at work and the different places, college. Our community, our world needs joy. And we have the source of joy. Do we not? So how many want to live intentionally? I won't look. You don't have to raise your hand. I want to judge you. Let me throw out a few more questions and we'll answer that question, what it looks like to live intentionally. These are questions that I honestly were for me, and eventually I think, you know what, let me just throw these out to our church family. Are we aligned with what God is doing? Now, some of you are on to me. You're asking the same question, different. Yes, I am. I'm asking us to just come face to face with the same question. Who am I and why am I here? Who are we and why are we here? Are we aligned with what God is doing? Has my passion cooled for his mission? You get that when I say it that way? I've been married more than 40 years, 41 years, I think, and she's with kids, so please don't share anything with her that you heard this morning. She'll watch online. I think it's 41. And I've had seasons in my marriage of intense passion and commitment and love, devotion to her, and then I've had seasons where it's just kind of cooled a little bit. You with me? Has my passion for God's mission cooled? Has it kind of gone into the background? Have I replaced his mission with one of my own making? Wow. I did a lot of writing to that one. I did some exploring. What is my mission? I say up front, right? You hear us talk about it, the mission, and we'll talk about it specifically in a minute. But what really is my mission living, you know, Sunday afternoon through Saturday night? Is it somehow been, it's one thing on Sunday morning, and then it's kind of replaced with a different mission throughout, at work, at home, with my kids, my finances? Have I replaced his mission with one of my own making? And finally, am I living intentionally? I want us to look at Ephesians together. Ephesians, and our text this morning is we're going to get there, I promise, in chapter 5, but there's a context that leads up to the verses I want us to examine this morning. And the first little excerpt from Ephesians that I want us to read together is in chapter 1, and Paul is praying, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you, does that apply to us? It does. If you're a child of God, you've been adopted into your family. Paul is praying for you, those who would come after that generation. I pray that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's really important, isn't it? That we know where this truth, where truth is rooted, where the revelation, the awareness, the opening of our eyes, where it's coming from. And if it's coming from any other source than God, please, I beg you, ignore it. I pray, Paul prays, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Friends, there's our joy, the hope of our calling. And what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints? You know you have an inheritance, right? You say, well, sorry, Dad. I don't from here, but I do, and so do you as a child of God. You have a glorious, incredible inheritance that is yours, and that you would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward who? Us who believe. I love that Paul, it's so clear to him that all God is directed at who? Us. Not just the inheritance of the future, but right now, everything that God is our inheritance. We have access to who he is and what he's doing. Do you see why it's so important that I know who I am and why I'm here? Because he's I have everything I need to live that out. I just need to answer the question, commit to the answer, and then rely on God's immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. I pray that if nothing else this morning, and there's more, but if just those words might be why God brought you here this morning, you needed to be encouraged. You need to begin again or for the first time this journey of who am I and why am I here? Because I walked in this morning very unclear who I am and very discouraged when I look at my world and think, why am I here? And for some of you, possibly what God brought you here this morning was to hear those words. Who you are to him. Amen. And who he is for you. But there's more. Paul in chapter 3, he prays this. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his spirit. We understand, right? And Jesus told us, but do we understand from experience that everything external starts within here? In here. Or I see a couple shaking heads. I'd love to see more. We need to know this. Everything you do and say this afternoon will be rooted back in what's happening in here and in here. And the work that God is doing or that he cannot do because we won't allow him to do in here and in here. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his spirit. Boy, we could hover there, the spirit of God living in us. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How does Christ dwell in our hearts through faith? He told us in John, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of truth, the comforter would come. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come by the Spirit, and he will live in you. And I pray, and taking that fact that he just said as true, now the fact that the Spirit of God lives inside of me, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, all the body, all the family of Crossroads, all those adopted into God's family, that you would comprehend, that you would be able to understand the length, the width, the height and the depth of God's love. I say, what in the world does that mean? It means that there is no place, no circumstances, nowhere that we can never find ourselves in a set of circumstances that the love of God is not also with us there. And it can't reach us. It can. And over the last handful of years, individually and collectively as a church family, we've been in some very, very dark places, very painful places. Did Paul understand what it was like to be in a painful place, in a dark place where you feel like you're alone, where it feels like God is not in control and the world is in control? Anyone? Yes. And Paul speaks from experience and by revelation that no matter what it is that you're walking through, his love is there. Amen. It can reach you. Amen. He has not given up on you. I pray that you would know Christ's love in such a way that surpasses knowledge. It doesn't make sense, friends. You cannot explain God's unconditional love for you. You can't earn it, you can't merit it, you can't deserve it, and you can't explain it. Just take it at face value because God said it, because God made the promise that he would never, ever forsake us or leave us. And all this so that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, what a statement, the fullness of God. How does this knucklehead, broken man be filled with be seen as the fullness of God? Well, Jesus came and said, I've come to show you the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was the fullness of God, amen? Amen? And he did it in a human body. And now he sends the Spirit to live into me, and he says, hey, Kurt, don't worry. The work that I've started, I'll complete it. I'll keep doing it. So that eventually, more and more and more and more, Kurt would conform to the image of Jesus. What does that mean? It means I would look less like me and sound less like me and look like and sound like him. Do you remember the John the Baptist? I need to decrease so that he might increase. We should always leave the fragrance of Christ in every room, every encounter, every moment that we're in. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, when you leave the room, there should be a fragrance, not of Kurt, that's not pleasant. There should be a fragrance of Jesus Christ. Paul says we can move by his grace towards the fullness of God. In chapter 4, and boy, you guys are not listening fast enough. In chapter 4, he begins to talk about the world and how the world lives, the values of the world and what they pursue. And I love it jumps out at me in chapter 4, verse 20. But that is not how you came to know Christ. Assuming that you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ. If you've heard the gospel and you've responded to the gospel and you've been adopted into his family, you know that what you see around you, what you see on television, what we see on our electronics and we see happening in our world around us, that is not how God's children are to be living and behaving and valuing. That is not how you came to know Jesus. So, take off your former way of life, and it is a picture of getting undressed. You take off these clothes that are stained and dirty and are no longer appropriate for a child of God. Take off the former way of life, the old self that's corrupted by deceitful desires, the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, and instead, Paul, what are you asking us to do? Be renewed. Be renewed. I got renewed this morning. I got up, I took a shower, these are not the clothes that I wore to bed last night. Does that surprise you?
Thank you, Uncle.
You're welcome. I took a shower, I put on deodorant, I did all these stuff, and last night I ironed clothes. I iron my own clothing, most of it. My mom still irons some of my shirts. Oh, did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to say that out loud. But I got renewed this morning. I took off my pajamas and took off, and then I got in the shower and I took off the dirt and the stink and the smell and all that just comes with being human, and I put on fresh clothes. That's the picture, he says. There's things that need to be removed so that you can renew in the spirit of your minds. There it is again. When we answer the question, who are we and why are we here, we got to start right here and right here. What I mean by that is, how do you think about who you are? Now, that's going to be a combination of your own voice and a bunch of other voices, right? Things we've heard over the years, things people say, well, this is who you are, you're this, you're that, you're this. And then there's that internal voice that we have, our own voice that says, well, Kurt, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. And then we watch advertising and we watch media, and the media is telling us this is what you should be. This is who you need to be. This is what will make you important. This is what will make you valuable. This is what will make people like you. This is what will make you popular. Are you tracking with me? We're surrounded by these voices that are speaking into this. And so Paul says, what you need to do is you need to start with how you're thinking. You need to change how you think. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And you need to put on the new self. You stop listening to the lies and you put on the truth. That's exactly what he's saying to do. Just like I put on clean clothes. I didn't go to the laundry basket. Now, some of you guys do this, and I don't know, so I'm not judging you. But I didn't go to the laundry basket. Ooh, no, okay, not that one. I went to the closet where things were hanging up and folded, telling me that they're clean and they're ready to be put on. There's the truth. And the way you think, because I know who I am and I know why I'm here, there's things that no longer should be on me. They should no longer be a part of my life, so they should no longer be a part of my thinking. And my longing. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness. You want to know what we should look like? We should look like Jesus. And I mean it. You say, well, he's God. Yeah, but he came to earth and he walked among us. He emptied himself. He allowed the Spirit of God to enable him to do what he came to do. And by the Spirit of God, he did everything the Father asked him to do. And then he looks at us and he says, now you deny yourself, you pick up your cross, and you follow me. What's he saying? He's saying, you look like me. You follow in my footsteps. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds, put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Those are dirty words in California. They're dirty words in our world, let's be honest. But they've lost a lot if they ever had any value in California. You know what I'm talking about? Righteousness, purity, truth. And yet when we cast our eyes on Jesus, what do we see? Righteousness, purity, and truth. So here's our text. That all is the context leading up to what Paul says in chapter 5, verse 8. And I ask you to reminisce with me. For some, this will be a memory lane, going back and thinking, okay, I remember how he's done. For others, he's like, wait a minute, I'm not sure this is, I don't know, has this happened in my life? I want this. This message is for all of us, wherever we're at right now. For you were once in darkness. Okay, just testing to see if that was a place to say amen.
Amen!
It's not a place to say amen. Praise God that we're not. But you, this is the reality. You were once in dark. You were once darkness. Excuse me. There is no the whatever the article is in front of it. He's not saying you were once in the darkness. He says you were once darkness. You were on the side of darkness. Later he would say you were at odds with God, an enemy of God. But that's not true anymore, is it? Look at the next sentence. Walk as children of light. For the light, for the fruit of the light consists of what? What is the fruit of light? What is the fruit of truth? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Walk as children of light, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Examining. This word testing, man, we hate tests, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And those in college are going, yep, I hate tests. I can still remember taking the test, the driving test at the DMV. In fact, I remember taking a written test maybe 20 years later with the same anxiety. You're like, oh my goodness, what if I fail? How embarrassing. And I remember sitting in that car and the person over here and going through the thing, I'm like, ah, you know, and what is he doing? He's examining my driving skills. He's testing whether or not I should be allowed to drive on the public roads. And he's doing his job, right? Remember he had a clip in the old days, probably have iPads now, but he had a clipboard. Anybody remember clipboards in previous millennia? They had clipboards and they had a pencil. Anybody remember pencils? He had to sharpen them. And he's filling out things. And I'm trying to pay attention, but I see him. I hear him. I'm like, you know, and I'm just, but he's doing his job. He's testing. He's examining me. And Paul says we're to do the same thing. We're to examine what it is that is pleasing to the Lord. Friends, we need to know what is pleasing to the Lord. No amens? Amen. We do. We need to know what that is, and then we need to put it to the test.
Yes.
When he says, do this, don't do that, be this way, here's who you are, here's why you're here, put it, okay, I need to know what that is. Here it is. It says right here what I'm to be and what I'm to do. Put it to the test. Put it to the test. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness. The world, the darkness of the world doesn't go away, but instead expose those fruitless works of darkness. Hey, wait a minute. Didn't he say that we were darkness? Yeah, that used to be us. That used to be me. Some of you might still be darkness. And if you are, hear his words this morning, that his arms are wide open for you to come to him in faith. And because of his grace, you'll find forgiveness, mercy, and new life. Adoption into his family. He says it's even shameful to talk about it. You know, a modern day application of this is it's shameful for us to watch other people do it. Somebody fell over, they were so upset by that. That was pretty quiet, huh? That's pretty convicting. We're so lazy when we watch TV and stuff online and our phone. We don't stop and examine. Is this portraying a fruitless work of darkness? Well, then I shouldn't be watching it. And I shouldn't be telling people about it. I shouldn't be talking about it. It's shameful even to mention, literally to talk about what is done by them in secret. Pay careful attention then, verse 15, to how you live. And that's the phrase that I want to stick in our hearts and minds today, what it means to be intentional in how we live. He says, pay careful attention to how you're living, how you're walking, not as unwise people, but as wise people, making the most of the time, making the most of 2025, making the most of Northern California in 2025, in Sacramento County, wherever you're from in this area, make the most of the moment that you've been given, because the days are evil. There's a lot of darkness. Now, you ready in 45 seconds to hear the points? And I'm going to fly through these, so if I apologize for skipping some stuff, you might want to take pictures of the screen. And I really want to talk about football. I love football. I love what we learn from football. In fact, I have an offensive line. Do you guys know what an offensive line is? I have five men. I have a center, guards, and tackles, five of them, that meet with me almost every week. And if you think of me as a quarterback has a blind side. You ever seen a quarterback get hit from the back and the damage? And yeah. And so, would you stand, offensive line, if you're here? You guys okay to do that? I want people to see this is real. Okay, you're not standing. Okay, there's one, there's two, there's three, four. Who are we missing? Andy. Andy Upton is number five. Thank you, gentlemen. These men block arm in arm to protect each other and to protect me from spiritual attack. And I love that. I love that. That's one of the lessons that I've learned. There's a few more, and I'm not going to talk a lot about them this morning, but I do want us to get the points from Ephesians chapter 5, and it's this, and I just run through these. Never forget who you were before the mission. If you're a child of God, over time, we forget that we were darkness. May every day we wake up, and I've told some of you this, but there's a man in South Sudan that has become a friend over the years, and we hoped to maybe bring him this year to the United States, and by God's grace, he might be here preaching one day, Tobias. And we were getting ready for breakfast, and I can't convey to you what life in a failed state, in a country that's just a mess, what it's like. But we're, you know, God's protecting us, and there's food there on the table, and he comes, walks in, and, hey, would you pray? And so he starts his prayer like this. He says, Father, I thank you for preserving my life through the night. And then he goes on to thank for the food and for the day, what God was doing. I was so convicted. Almost every day since that day in September, not every day, but almost every day, I start my day by saying, God, thank you for preserving my life. Friends, we take for granted the work of God in our lives. And I pray that in 2025, it will be so absolutely clear to the people in our lives that I have been saved by grace, for all of us, that the people in our lives would see the change that he's done in us. That's living intentionally. Never forget who you were before the mission. Always live for the mission. You see, there's some sub-notes there. That has to do with football. So those of you guys that know football, you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not going to get into it because of time. Always live for the mission. Always live for the mission. We asked at the beginning, have we drifted? Is it possible that, and it is. Oh, I got to finish up. Always live for the mission. Never take your eyes off the ball. Never take your eyes off the ball. The Niners just lost to the Lions. I cried. But the highlight of the good thing of the game, they did okay for a while, but the good thing of the game is they actually got the Lions offside. They drew them offsides. That is so fun to watch professionals get duped. It is not fun to see a child of God get duped by the temptation of this world in any way, shape, or form. Don't encroach. Don't get offsides. Don't listen to that call of the other quarterback and get mesmerized by it and take your eyes off the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. You only move when the ball moves. Paul says, don't have anything to do with the fruitless works of darkness. Don't even watch them. Don't talk about them. Never take your eye off the ball. And finally, always trust the mission. Always trust the mission. Friends, we got to stick to the game plan. We can't make it up as we go out in the huddle. God has given us the mission, and we'll unpack this over the next 4 weeks. Would you guys pray with me, please? I'm going to invite, we have some really exciting things happening already in 2025, and so as I'm praying, I'm going to invite a couple of our leaders that oversee missions and a couple, and you know who you are, come on up. It's okay to move while I'm praying. We'll forgive you. You don't need to be forgiven. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that your love follows us, goes with us, no matter where we go or what we face. Would you, by your Spirit, please make so clear to each one of us who we are and why we're here. We want to live intentionally in 2025. We want to live and give intentionally in 2025. We want to experience your renewal in our lives. And we ask it humbly but confidently in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.